This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good evening. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 137 of Within the Trenches. This episode, along with all the others, are supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. But this episode and all the other episodes recorded this week are going to be special because this is the first time that I'm attending the Navigator Conference put on by the IAED. So this episode, along with all the others for this week, are supported by the IAED as well. And I am currently recording live within the gala for the gala event for this this conference. And if you can hear the people in the background, it's pretty loud. Hopefully you'll be able to hear myself and my guest talking. So we're here at the conference and we're in the expo hall. So people are walking around this gala event. You've got, you know, drinks going, you've got finger foods, everybody's networking, going around to different booths. I am currently in booth 407 and I am next to a couple pretty cool looking companies here. I can't even tell you what they do because they've got so many people around them that I can't see it exactly. But we're doing good here. This is pretty good. This is also the first time that I am in an actual booth. So this is awesome. You'll end up seeing the pictures and stuff as I post them up. But everything's been going good so far. I had an interesting trip coming over here, flying, as you know, as you've heard all the other episodes. Every time I travel, something crazy happens to me. So this time was the same. However, we're going to go from there. There's a lot of things going on, and I want to get right to it, though. This week is also, so today is April 11th, 2017, and we are right in the middle of National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, and things have been going great. I posted up a video for Project IM-901, and it is currently exploding right now on Facebook and Twitter, so things are going good there as well. Now, building up to this conference, I had a scholarship that I put out, and it is the Within the Trenches Continuing Education Scholarship. And it was to send one dispatcher here to this conference to be able to, just experience what it's like to be at a big conference, the networking, the expo hall, all the classes, everything that, you know, a person can learn at something like this. And today's guest is the recipient of this one as he went to take a drink. Of course, that would happen, yeah. Right? My guest today is Ethan, and he is a telecommunicator. You know what? I typed this in Evernote as telecommunicator, and it auto-corrected to telecommunication. I almost said telecommunications. Stupid computer. But he is with Mecklenburg EMS out of Charlotte, North Carolina. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So, you know, earlier today, before we got in here, we were talking about travel. Right. And yours was a little weird, too. I mean, the way you got sent out, I mean, the routing, it's odd. From where you're at in North Carolina, I would think that it would be a direct shot over here.
Yeah, but I flew Delta. Getting here is not the worst part, going to Atlanta and then coming here. Right. Going home, I've got to go all the way to Detroit.
Oh, that's right. Charlotte. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to go to Detroit. I don't understand that. I don't know what.
Got to fly right past Charlotte. So.
Right. So who knows, man? Who knows? And I was telling you, one of the other conferences that I was at, you know, in New Hampshire, I would have had to fly down to Atlanta from Fort Wayne to get to New Hampshire. And it was stupid. So then I ended up driving 3 hours to Chicago for a 1.5 hour flight, and then still had to drive 2.5 hours north to where the conference was going to be. It was all freaking messed up. But so this is your first time at a big conference like this, right?
Yeah.
What has it been like for you so far?
It's huge. You don't realize how big it is. All the people that you can network with,
Right.
All the people you meet from different agencies to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Right. So then to go a little further with the scholarship. So what ended up happening is in order to apply for the scholarship, what and applicants had to do was they had to apply, but they also had to give a resume and right. a 1,000-word essay.
Right.
And we had a bunch of people come in, and I myself was not on the voting committee because, man, I want everybody to go.
Right.
So I had people going, and it got heated towards the end there. It was you and another person, and you know the voting was going and going, and I had opened up a group message with all of them, and I'm watching and reading everything that's going mm-hmm. on, and then it ended up, you know, going in your favor. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, all right. And we've got somebody who just walked up right now, has her hand on on his eyes.
See, I told you.
Oh. And who is this person who is joining us but none other than Daphne. She's jumping in here really quick.
I am.
Let's do it. So she's gonna put on, of course. You're gonna put some headphones on? Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Oh, but people can't hear you.
Why? Because my mic's not turned on.
The mic is on. You guys got to get closer.
Okay. All just, right, I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
That
is a little better. Yeah, okay. So let's see. Which one are you in here? This is the longer one. Let's see. Okay, now say something.
Hello.
You still have to move closer anyway.
I still have to move closer.
You've got a mousy voice.
So, I used to make good money with it. What are you talking about?
Okay. Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Really?
I'm so kidding.
That's the beer talking.
Yes.
So we were just talking about Ethan and the scholarship and everything that he had to do and stuff and how the voting process was going, and he ended up getting the scholarship. So what he ended up getting was a full conference registration as well as pre-conference class of his choice, a T-shirt for the podcast, a guest spot on the show, as well as a $500 travel stipend, which that travel stipend still pisses me off because of stuff behind the scenes that the company that I was working with, not my own company, don't think that. It was a different company for those listening.
Don't go bashing the company.
A different company. Yeah, exactly. Just took a long time. But you got your loot and everything is going good.
It all worked out well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So for the pre-conference class, though, what was the class that you ended up going to?
I did the Mardi Gras Managing Your Team.
Okay. And so how did that – what all was it about then?
So it was about actually not managing Mardi Gras. I guess what a lot of people thought it was.
Right.
It was how to be a leader mm-hmm. on your team.
Okay.
A lot of differences between a boss and a leader, teaching you to go with your team mm-hmm. and do what they do and show them that you do what they do and show them that you appreciate them.
Right.
To keep morale up. A lot of the people in their agencies have a problem with morale. Mm-hmm. So they were throwing ideas on how to boost morale with people. Within the agency, within their communications center, which is
nice.
Really cool. So, yeah,
that is definitely way more different than I thought it was going to be
exactly.
as well. Because when I read it too, I thought this is going to be badass. This is like almost like tactical dispatching or
right,
something. You
right,
know, when you go out or you have this huge event and you learn how to manage all of that. I was way off.
Yeah, me too.
Well, and others apparently were, thinking the same thing. So good. You got something good out of that. And was that today then?
That was Monday.
It was Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So today, there were other pre-conference classes. You kind of had an off day a little bit then, right?
I went and walked around New Orleans. So,
nice. Yeah, so awesome. What are some of the things that you saw then? Or how far did you go? I mean, there's Bourbon Street, of course, but, they got the trolley rides, or you can go to the cemeteries. They also have ghost tours.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, at night they have tours and stuff.
I actually went down to the World War II Museum.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool. There was a packed full of people.
What was your favorite thing that you did today?
Eat lunch with you guys.
All right. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah, very nice. I'm trying to adjust your volume.
I know. I'm like,
there you go. That's way better now.
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, that's good.
Right.
I just turned yours up just a little bit more. And
now we've got it.
Yes, we're good. See, if you would have been here in the beginning, we could have done the mic check.
The
and
check,
stuff.
Check one.
Yeah, one, wiki. Yeah, all that good stuff. So now let's, I was going to say, let's go back in time. And we are going to go back in time a little bit, but first, how long have you been dispatching?
Just a year and a half.
So let's go back in time a year and a half.
A whole year and a half.
Exactly. Yes. How did you get started in dispatching? Did you have like family or anything?
I had a friend who was a supervisor at Medic. He recommended to me because the last job I had wasn't working out because of some business changes and stuff.
Right.
And I've always wanted to do something in the emergency services. So this is my way to step into that.
Very nice. So when you got in there, though, I guess what was like your hiring process? Because this is Mecklenburg EMS, so you don't deal with any law enforcement, right?
No, we just do medical and county fire in Mecklenburg County.
So then what was your training like, or even your hiring process? Because it was, I guess it would be maybe somewhat different for an agency that does all three.
Yeah, so we did the critical test, and then we had a panel interview.
Ooh, panel interview.
That was my first one of those, too. So.
Nice. Yeah. So, okay, we were talking, for those who are listening, the four of us, we were talking earlier today on first-time stuff, and this is Ethan's first time in New Orleans.
Yep.
First time at a national conference like this. And, yes, so a lot of first-time stuff. So, this panel, how many people were part of this panel?
I don't remember the exact number. It was probably about six.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
so. That's a big panel. Yeah. We only do four at ours. So.
And do you do it where...
One of them is at HR, so that one doesn't even count.
Where one person is on... That person being interviewed is on one side of the table and everybody's on the other?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Take turns asking them questions, and you make eye contact with them and see if they squirm.
Right. Well, I had a panel interview that was like 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And there was that many people on the other side. But they didn't take turns. Well, okay, technically they took turns asking questions. However, every single person could throw questions based on or other, they could build on that one question that come out.
Right, based on the answers.
To see if you can deal with it, to see if you know you can deal with the pressure.
And that's what the HR person's there to make sure that we don't go too far beyond what we're supposed to. But, you know, pretty much your answers make questions fair game.
Yeah, exactly. So how long then was that hiring process? Because when I first started out, it took like almost 2 months because of the extensive background history and all that other stuff. So was it the same for you? Because you're not running warrants or anything.
No, it took me a little bit longer. I got put on the waiting list.
Okay.
I kept bugging the hiring person, sending them emails and stuff.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, that's how you know that somebody
up.
Is.
You have to follow up.
Yeah.
Right. That's how you know when somebody is really wanting to do it, when they're bugging like that. So you go through this process, and then you start training. Did you start out on the floor in the beginning, or did they have you in a room trying to figure out, you know, addresses and how that stuff works?
Yeah, we actually have our own training room at Medic with virtual CAD and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So we do some practice with call taking, addressing, plotting stuff. I'm learning all the commands and the CAD system and stuff. Actually had to be sent to Boone, North Carolina, to take our EMD and EFD certification classes.
Oh, sweet.
For a week. So, yeah.
So for those who are listening that don't know what EMD or EFD are, what is that exactly?
So EMD is through the International Academy of Emergency Dispatch. It's their protocol system to triage calls.
Okay.
So you have the emergency medical dispatcher, they do emergency fire dispatcher, and emergency police dispatcher as well. So.
Excellent. See, and when I was in dispatch, I only had my EMD. I didn't have the EFD or the others. And I'm not sure why we didn't do the other ones, but we did the EMD at least. You know, you've got to have the certification or else you can't take medicals. Bang. So, yeah, that was a week-long class or something like that that you had to
do.
2.5 days,
3 days.
Yeah, do that there. So then, you go through that, you get your certifications and everything else. And then you get out there on the floor. Was it overwhelming for you at first?
I wouldn't say overwhelming. It was surprising on the kind of calls you get and the people you talk to and that kind of stuff. So,
got some frequent flyers there?
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, I can imagine because, I mean, these are medicals. Well, and fire calls. But, you know, the medicals especially, you've got your frequent flyers in those. And... Because I dealt with, you know, police calls and stuff, It's a completely different thing. Sure. I think there was way more frequent flyers on the police side than there were medicals. But I can see that happening with, you know, medicals a lot. And Daphne, you do the same thing, right?
Correct.
You don't do law enforcement.
No, we don't.
Okay. So you know about your frequent flyers as well.
Oh, definitely. And it gets frustrating sometimes, especially when you know that there may be a use of resources that there shouldn't be.
Right.
But the protocol dictates that we treat everyone the same and every call
of course.
Appropriately.
And you can always tell when they're frequent flyers because they know your questions.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, we were talking about that earlier today. Yeah, that it seems like, you know, for your EMD protocol and stuff, there are certain red flags or triggers, I guess, these hot words or whichever that keywords, there you go, that people end up learning, like chest pain or difficulty breathing,
right.
And they end up finding out that's how I get people, you know, there faster is by saying this. And
when you ask them, what's your problem? Tell me exactly what happened. Yeah. And they go, I'm having chest pain, I'm short of breath, I'm clammy, and I took all my meds today. Then you know that they know the system.
Right, exactly. They know how to get somebody out there fast. And that's crazy, but shit, people do it. That's what's going to happen. But that also keeps us employed, or keeps you guys employed. Yeah. I always talk like I'm still there.
Oh, you're still here. You're with us in spirit. It's okay.
There you go. Yes, exactly. So, so you get in there, and you're working, you're taking a couple calls and stuff. What was your first call? Do you remember what your first call was?
I don't remember my first call, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
It was only a year and a half ago, man.
Taking a lot of calls.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah, there's been a lot of calls.
In the world. Do you remember your first one?
Do you remember yours?
We've talked about my first one.
Hey, say it again.
My very first one was a poor guy out on Lake Okeechobee. And if anybody knows Florida, Lake Okeechobee is full of alligators. And they kind of eat when they want to eat, and they eat what they want to eat. And he had a very large German Shepherd that...
Oh, my God. I remember this now.
Alligator came up and grabbed the dog.
Oh, man.
And when he called in, he said he needed medical.
Yes.
And he's screaming, and I was like, sir, we'll get animal control out there, but I can't tell you how to save your dog. I felt so bad, because what do you do? That's his dog. That's like his baby.
Right. Yeah, you can't tell him to go jump in there and fight it off.
Right, you know, poke him in the eye, go get him.
Take off your shoe and throw it at him, see what happens.
So that was, I just remembering his like anguish, just the screaming, that was just... Ugh.
And so that was your first call, and you've been doing this for how many years?
I'm 13th year.
13th year.
Yeah.
And you still remember it like it was yesterday?
Yes, because I just remember how bad I felt that I couldn't help him.
Right.
So.
Oh, man. So what about any calls that have stuck with you, Ethan?
The kids with the child CPRs. Those are... That was actually one of the ones I wrote my paper on. Those are hard. So,
right. Yeah. Yes. So... That was one of the things that made me happy that I didn't do a lot of medicals, that we did you know, all three, because those medicals, when those would come out, man, those are the hardest ones to do. And you both of you do those every day, taking medicals day in, day out. I commend you. I couldn't do medicals that much. That's just crazy.
I don't know about you, but I'll do child calls every day. They're so smart and do what you tell them.
I would take a child caller over an adult caller any day of the week.
This is true.
They
yes.
do exactly Good what they call. Tell you. They don't give you reasons why they can't do.
Exactly.
They just do it.
Right.
And then they try to overachieve what you've asked them to do. They really do.
Yeah, that's the best. Oh, man, I never really thought about that. Yeah. The child callers are the ones that do everything you tell them
Absolutely.
To do. The adults are the ones that turn into jerk-offs. And,
Well, or they just... I think probably it's because children don't realize the gravity of the situation. I mean, they know that there's something wrong.
Right.
Whereas an adult really can grasp on to how bad the situation is. And so that plays into their emotions and the adrenaline and how they actually handle things.
Man. Well, and that's why they have so many, you know, different awards and stuff that come out for the little kids, because they do such an excellent job. And I think I'm trying to remember now all the awards that they give at this conference. But I know at other conferences, you know, they've got their child hero of the year award or whichever. So yeah, those are always good. Adults, well, what can you do? Again, That's our job security.
That's all we can do. Repetitive persistence.
Exactly.
Oh man, and if you're an EMD person, you know exactly what that is.
Verbatim, over and over.
Right. How about any funny calls or anything from your medicals? Oh man,
drawing a blank.
On the spot. What? There's so many. Well, and there's so many, I guess, that you've probably taken. See, so last year at the Indiana NINA conference, I was doing, for the first time, a live audience episode. And it was serious all the way through, but all of the stories turned, like, sexual. Like, they were all of these crazy calls that had come in. So this one guy... This is not bad. So this one guy had called in, and he said that he broke his junk while trying to hang up a mirror. Yeah.
Thank you for the visual.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
You know, the dude had to be naked. He had to have been naked.
I'm sure he wasn't hanging a mirror.
What? But what if he was? What if he was trying to hang it on the ceiling? Oh, it just gets worse.
Job security.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, this is going off of the subject really quick, but I noticed that you changed.
I did change because I just felt like a bum. So I went to my hotel room and changed.
You felt what?
I felt like a bum.
Like a bum?
Yeah.
I felt like you were looking all low budget.
And yeah. I'm like, this is all low rent. I need to go change.
That's
not
crazy.
That you guys don't look great. I'm just saying.
Well, when you walked up at first, I didn't realize it was you. All I saw was the hand over Ethan's eyes. And then I was like, okay, dress pants, dress shirt. I thought, what happened to the skull t-shirt that you had on?
It'll reappear. Well, another one will reappear. That one won't reappear. But
oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, that works. So...
Again, two airplanes, come on, and like 90% humidity. It needed to be retired for the day.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
That can be your Bourbon Street shirt.
Yeah, well, yep, that's
there
true.
There you go,
it's already,
yeah.
It's already dirty. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, the smell will be perfect. It'll smell like ham.
I've got Febreze in my room. I'll just...
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Spray it down.
So... Earlier, when we were at lunch, you were talking about some of the fire stuff that's been going on in Florida.
Yes.
So give me some information on that, because I don't think – not a lot of people pay attention to the news and stuff, but getting it from the dispatch side,
right.
You know, what is going on in Florida? Because there's a lot of fire shit.
Well, yes. In Florida right now, Florida Forestry Service uses the KBDI index, and that basically tells us how dry we are.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, what is that?
It's a level of how, you know, the dryness of the area, the drought index type. That's how they measure it.
Right.
And if red could get any redder,
yeah,
that's where we are. And it's not funny, but you're laughing at something.
I know.
Else.
I'm sorry.
I know. I'm just
kidding. Didn't mean to laugh. One of my coworkers, Larry, just walked by. And was flexing, so it was kind of funny.
Right.
I apologize.
No, no, no.
Say that piece again, please.
Yeah. So it tells just how dry we are.
Yeah.
Where if we weren't, we're over 600, and if we weren't in such a high drought index, say if you flicked a cigarette, it might smolder and put itself out.
Right.
A cigarette right now can burn hundreds of acres.
Holy crap.
Hundreds of acres before anybody can respond. Endangered homes. It's just really, it's serious right now.
That's freaking nuts.
And it's not like we're getting one or two a week right. That are that bad. We're getting every day.
Right.
You're getting at least 100 to 200 acre fire, which in some accounts, you know, really doesn't sound like a huge amount when you compare other states.
Right.
But in the areas that we're getting them in, they're so populated
right.
And so close to homes. So that's what makes it really critical to try to get those taken care of as quickly as possible.
Dang. So... have you guys been doing any, like, evacuations or anything like that?
We had one large fire where we did have to do some evacuations a couple weeks ago. Otherwise, our teams are great, and we've set up our response protocols to allow for protection of those homes as well as fighting the actual fire.
Jeez. You know, my brother, one of my brother-in-laws, he is actually part of the Forestry Division there in Florida. So every time something like that is going on, and you know, he'll send out a message and say prayers for us for going out to fight fires. I'm like, oh man,
we are taxing them, and I'm so grateful that they're there for us. But and you know, like everybody has zones that respond. You know, usually we have the Martin County zone that responds to us.
Yeah.
Some days we're taking Martin County's units, we're taking Okeechobee's units. We're taking units from everywhere because we're just having so many incidents where we need them to go out. And I think people, members of the public don't necessarily get it until they're involved. They think that, oh, I can just go ahead and burn this trash pile and it'll be okay.
Right.
When they don't understand that that ember can go a mile before it touches down on somebody's roof and then,
gone.
And then it's gone.
Jeez. You know, it kind of reminds me of... Now, when I was in Michigan, you know, we didn't have crazy heat index shit like you do in Florida.
Yeah.
However, there were a few times that, what is it called? What is it called? Is it red flag? Is it?
Yes, red flag warning.
Is it?
That's
okay.
What it is.
Okay, so we would throw out a red flag warning. And then there was one time that there was this crazy, crazy fire that happened out in the Lake Town Township area. And what ended up happening was that there were three kids that were out on the beach and they were camping and they had fireworks. And one of them ended up ricocheting. It went somewhere else and it fell. It was in the sand and then it fell when it shot. And when it shot, it hit all of that dry, you know, grass and stuff that was there. It ended up burning over $3 million worth of homes.
Oh, wow.
Those homes were only like three or four homes. They were that expensive.
Right.
And then the acreage that, you know, it took out.
But that's how quickly it can happen.
Right. It was that fast. We didn't know at the time. We didn't know how that had started. But one of the calls towards the end of, or I guess maybe more towards the middle of all the craziness that was going on, a caller ended up saying, I saw some kids out on the beach with fireworks, and they ran after this happened.
Right.
So we were looking all over the place for them. But we were running evacuations, and I was making phone calls to people, and I get a phone call from a guy, and he goes, yeah, so I see my neighbor's house is on fire. And I said, okay. And he goes, I think people are evacuating. Should I go too? I'm like, sir, you can do what you want. I can't tell you what to do. But if you want to be safe, try to, you know, do whatever you can to make sure that you are safe. Then he goes, my house just caught on fire as well. I'm leaving right now.
Oh, my God.
And he split, but he was just there. And we're talking, and I'm thinking, dude, are you really asking me this? Is this real life?
Right.
Because this guy's house is fully engulfed.
Right.
And then his house caught fire. And then,
oh, by the way,
finally
the neighbor's house
off.
Is on fire.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it was pretty nuts.
You have both ends of the spectrum. You have that person who is level and non-emotional, and then you have the next person who swears that it's as big as a football field, and it turns out to be a mulch pile where, you know, along their house.
Right, exactly. I apologize to those who are listening. This cough that I have. I have high blood pressure from working in dispatch. And
ACE inhibitor cough?
Yes. Well, the medication that I take, one of the main side effects is a dry cough. So what sucks is when you're on a plane with someone and it gets dry in there and you start coughing and then they look at you and they're like
you got the plague or something.
Right. And they move away a little bit and I'm thinking, no, dude, I'm not sick. I will show you my pill bottle. It says right here, side effect, dry cough. Yeah, it sucks. So
you want me to buy you some cough drops or... something.
You're going to make me cough more. Making me laugh. It's funny. I might need you to, yes. Or some water or something. They asked me earlier, is there anything that you need? And I said, you know what? I will take a swig of that.
You're good.
Oh, man. That is nice and warm. It tastes like saltine crackers. Oof. So, I might have to edit this piece out because of my coughing. So, going into the wrap-up of this episode, though, Ethan, this is your first time at a big conference like this and everything. What would you say to somebody who is looking to go to a conference to learn more, or that might be hesitant? What is some advice that you could give them to, you know, get them to go to something like this?
I definitely would go again if I got the opportunity. It's been a great experience. Learning classes that they give, the people that you meet, the technology you get to see.
Definitely.
So it's if anybody ever gets a chance to go, definitely take the opportunity to go.
What are some of the classes that you've seen in the booklet that are, you know, some of the ones this week that you want to get into to check out? Because there's a bunch of them on there.
Looking at a lot of the leadership classes. There's some updated ProQA stuff that I'm going to take. So just different things they have for pretty much anything. Management, leadership.
Yeah, these classes are all day, and some of them are an hour, some of them are 2 hours. Mine is only going to be an hour, which now thinking of how I'm going to do it, I probably should have done 2 hours, but I'll have to condense it and figure out how to do it.
Bring like a case of Kleenex for everybody, because, you know, that's what you're going to need.
Well, I did say that I was going to bring Kleenex. Yeah. I didn't, but...
You're in trouble.
I'm sure that somebody will, you know, provide it. If not, everybody will just be crying, and it'll be awesome.
The hotel has everything, it seems like, so...
Oh, yeah, there you go. We can get some complimentary tissues.
Well, there might be somebody here who has their name on complimentary tissues that you might be able to pass
right,
out.
Right, I might be able to do that. If not, if I would have thought about it, I could have gotten some hashtag IM911 branded tissues.
Think ahead.
I know.
Think ahead.
This all happened all out of nowhere, but it's been good. It's been very good. So
yeah, I can't wait for it. I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah. And you better be in that class.
Of course.
Because really quick before we finish up here, what's gonna happen is there's gonna be an index card that everyone is gonna get. I don't even know how big these classrooms are. So I'm hoping that I have enough cards to give out to everyone. Because there's some pretty cool snazzy ones.
Pass them out, you know.
They are about is a little bit thicker than what these are.
Oh, wow. They're that. Alrighty, fancy pants.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty sweet. So on the back, on the front of it, it says, what does it say there? Now I don't remember what I said. Share your story. Join the movement. I am 911. So, and then on the other side, there's going to be a spot where people can actually write down. Yeah, those are the business cards that you guys are looking at. The others are index cards. And there's a space where people will have a chance to write down their IM 911 story. They're not going to put their name because these stories have always been anonymous.
Right.
So this is how we're going to keep people anonymous. They're going to write down their story, and they're going to pass it up for front, and then I'm going to pass them back, and no one will have their story. And people are going to come up front and read this, and it's going to be recorded, and it's going to be part of an episode of Imagine Listening. And for those who are listening, if you don't know what Imagine Listening is an extension of the podcast that's all based on the stories of the IM 911 movement. So if you haven't heard those episodes, make sure to check them out. Those are some good ones. Thank you both for being on this episode. And
thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. And Ethan, I hope you have an excellent time. And we'll have to do another episode towards the end so that you can tell me everything that you went through, all the stuff that you experienced. It's going to be a good time here.
We would like a PowerPoint,
PowerPoint
of everything.
Yes. Right. Yeah, that would be good.
I'd love to have to do schoolwork. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. PowerPoint is a great way for teaching and training, so then you can get practice on it.
There you go. So for those who are listening, if you have any comments or questions or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email the show, and that's going to be wtcpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, and that is @901podcast. You can also like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And as of right now, April 11th, 2017, I have almost 200 notifications on Twitter that I'm trying to catch up on. They just keep coming and coming and coming, as well as messages on Facebook. And I'm trying to keep up with them, as well as Daphne, who's part of the admin team, and everyone else that they're coming through. The hard thing, though, is that a lot of them are specifically addressed to me.
Right.
So I'm trying to play catch up here. So those who are listening, if you sent me a message, or if you sent a message through the blog, through that contact form, there are a bunch of them on there as well. I'm trying to catch up with all of them. So please be patient, and I thank you for that patience. This episode can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and thejabberlog.com. I want to give a special shout out and thanks to the IAED for giving me the opportunity to be here to do the episodes, or do the podcast rather, live with attendees that are coming in, as well as other people that are here with their booth. And it's going to be a good time. Thank you all very much for allowing me to be here to do that. And I will see you on the next episode. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.